Welcome to No Longer Conformed. We're studying the book of Revelation. In this session, we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 to 10, joy for the marriage. Let's read those verses, verses 7 through 10 of chapter 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus, and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Finally, the marriage of the Lamb and his bride. Who is the bride? All true Christians. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and forward. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 19:7 refers to the church as his wife. An understanding of the ancient Eastern marriage custom is helpful at this point. First of all, parents of the bride and the potential bridegroom will negotiate a marriage contract, which is referred to as the betrothal. The potential bride is usually young, and betrothal is more binding than our modern concept of engagement. It is legally a marriage, but without sexual union. And divorce is required to break off a betrothal. Example in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So the bride, after this contract of betrothal, the bride would begin to spend her time preparing for the future marriage union. So they're betrothed, so they're legally, essentially legally married, but the marriage doesn't begin until the consummation of the marriage and the sexual union. So, second, the bridegroom with his friends went on a day that was not announced. The bridegroom with his friends would go to the bride's home, and they would pick her up, and they would bring her back to his father's house. So she was getting ready, preparing to be married and everything, and she was waiting for this day. She had no idea when it was going to be. It was going to be a surprise. And then one day, on the day of the bridegroom's choosing, he would go to her house and pick her up, and then he would take her to his father's house. And then, after that, the bridal procession would be followed by the marriage feast. And that marriage feast would last for, in some cases, many days, depending on the resources of the family. And so if you take that custom to the marriage of the Lamb, you see just how it opens up and explains several things. Notice that the announcement indicates that it's still a future event. In this passage, it's talking about the marriage of the Lamb. It's about to happen, but it's still a future event. And notice that the focus is on the groom. It's not on the bride. It's interesting that today, in our culture, in the wedding ceremony, the bride is the one who is the center of all the attention. But in biblical times, the groom was the focus of and that's Jesus is the focus. He's the central focus of the marriage of the church and the Lamb. So there's three steps of Jesus' marriage. First, there's the betrothal. The negotiation price for the betrothal was the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Every Christian at conversion becomes betrothed of the Lamb. The bride is now making herself ready for Him. The church is making herself ready for Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. So first there's the betrothal, which was arranged on Calvary's cross. Then there's the procession. Christ will come, just as the groom would come to get the bride. Christ will come to take His bride to His Father's house, just as the groom would do. And how would He do that? How's He going to take His bride to His Father's house? By the rapture. And unannounced, it says, like a thief in the night. So just as the bridegroom would come unannounced to get the bride, Jesus one day, unannounced, will come to get His bride, the church, and take us to His Father's house. Matthew chapter 25 and verses 1 through 13. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who buy and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So there is the betrothal arrangement. There's the procession, which for the church is the rapture. And then there's the supper. The lamb accompanied by his wife will arrive from his father's house at the marriage feast. And I believe that's on earth. Where? On earth. This event begins with the presentation of the bride at the Father's house by the Lamb. And then together they travel with the guests following to the reception, the marriage supper. Israel is awaiting the bridegroom's return with his bride to begin the feast. The celebration lasts for many days into the millennial kingdom, reign of Jesus Christ. And it can really last a long time because the resources are inexhaustible. Who's going to be there? Well, verse 9 says, "Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are true sayings of God.'" Well, who's going to be there? Well, the bridegroom will be there, of course, Jesus Christ. The bride will be there, the church, and the guests. And who are the guests? Well, Israel, the Jews, the Old Testament saints, resurrected, the tribulation saints, some alive in mortal bodies, some in resurrected spiritual bodies. John chapter 3, verse 29. "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled." How long will it last? Well, it depends on the resources of the host. This one could last forever. It could go on all the way through the 1,000 years. Verse 10 is interesting. And there's an important note there. He says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" Worshipping angels and departed saints. Huh. Yeah. Worshipping angels and departed saints. Let me give you one final point. Verses 7, the second part of 7 to verse 8. "His wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Fine linen. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Here is an antinomy, which is a seemingly opposed concepts that are equally true. The sovereignty of God and the free choice of man. The bride is Christ's because of his righteousness. Her gown is made of her own righteous deeds. So, has made herself ready in the second part of verse 7, and to her it was granted. Verse 8. Why is the bridegroom depicted as the lamb? Well, you didn't fall in love with the Creator. You didn't fall in love with the King. You didn't fall in love with the Lord. You fell in love with the Lamb. You fell in love with the Savior who died for your sins. Amen. You have a great day.